can. I want people to know that this means enough to me to risk my life for it. And I honor that. I respect that deeply. I'm very proud of him. I'm terrified, but I'm proud of him.
What do you hope will happen from this?
What I hope, what I hope is that Israel allows them to complete their mission, to go to Gaza, to unload all of their supplies, and then peacefully go home. That's it. That's all I want. That's all they want to do. I do not want to see any of them end up in a Palestinian prison. They have the Israelis have two types of prisons. They have one for Israelis and other people, and then they have another prison for Palestinians. And I understand that the conditions in the Palestinian prisons are unbelievably horrible, just absolutely horrible. And that's where I'm hearing that they intend to send all of the people on the flotilla. And so, of course, you know, that keeps me up at night.
Of course, this creates grounds for our governments to have to do something about it as well. Mm-hmm. If all of those people are imprisoned.
Just hoping that Israel will not want to deal with the logistics of that many people. We're talking about hundreds of people, because all the ships from all the different parts of the world are coming together. It's happening right now, and they will come en masse through the Mediterranean. And so I believe when they're all together, true to form, that's probably when Israel will strike. But I'm hoping that they just will not want to deal with the logistics and the economic recourse that will come as a result of the world being, most of the world, the U.S. not so much, but most of the world up in arms about stopping this peaceful flotilla.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jan. I think that's all the questions that I had today. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just would ask that people continue to bother the heck out of their elected officials. Tell them that, call them and tell them that we will not be silent. We will not, there are some of us who are not complicit in this genocide, in this oppression, and in this apartheid. We don't want any part of it. And we don't want our government to be part of it too. And so it's our responsibility to call and let them know this. And the only way they're going to listen is if the voter base rises up and says, no, we're not going to do this.
Thank you so much, Jan. And good luck to you and your family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
For KBOO News in Depth, I'm Hannah Francis.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO's Loud and Proud. Become a member during our KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 20th. Your contribution goes towards grassroots, independent, radically made community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give and help us reach our $45,000 goal. Thank you.
Support for KBOO comes from our members and from the Urban League of Portland, celebrating its 80th anniversary as a local civil rights organization. Urban League PDX provides housing, education, healthcare, and career services to local communities. Membership information is available at ulpdx.org.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio. Of the working class, by the working class, for the working class, I'm your host, Stephen Siegel. My co-host, Rachel, is out today. Hopefully, we'll have her back next time. We are broadcasting around the world from Portland, Oregon. Both of us are public school teachers. We host every second Monday of the month, where we typically interview educators and talk about what's going on in their schools and in their unions. And joining us today, we've got Mindy Trofer Cooper. Welcome, Mindy.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. So would you start by telling our listeners a little bit about you and your job, what you do with the district, and how long you've been doing that?
I'm a paraeducator. I've been with Evergreen School District for about 15 years. I've done all kinds of different stuff as a paraeducator within the district. I've worked in all the age groups. I currently work in a program called KinderBridge. It is 4 and 5 year olds that don't make the cutoff for kindergarten.
Okay.
And it is the best job in the whole world.
Yeah, sounds fun. You are also your union's president, so you wear multiple hats. How did you get involved in union work? What was your journey to becoming president of the public school employees, Evergreen Public School Employees? Is that what we're calling the chapter?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. About 4 years ago, I had seen a lot of things that I guess wrong with the union. It was not member driven necessarily. It had kind of become self-serving. And so I decided that I could no longer sit back and expect changes if I wasn't willing to step in and step up.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I first as a trustee, then as treasurer, and then 3 years ago, I was elected president.
Okay. And do you have any sort of release time or support in that role?
No, most of it I do early in the morning before school, in the afternoons after school, and in the evenings. Mm-hmm. We do have release time. There's only 4 days a month allotted, and I end up doing a lot of it on my own time.
Gotcha. That's a lot. So not a lot of time for having a life outside of school and union work.
No, I'm lucky. My kids are grown, and I have an amazing husband that's very supportive of the work I do.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit about the workers that you represent. What sorts of jobs do they hold in the district? And also, just talk about how important that work is to the functioning of the schools and the well-being of the students.
So our union encompasses six different classifications. We have mechanics that work on all of the buses and things like that, the vehicles of the district. Then we have maintenance workers. Those are our craft trades, HVAC, plumbers, electricians, locksmiths, a variety. Also in that classification is our grounds crew. We have bus drivers, obviously, and then we have pro techs, which cover behavioral interventions and RBTs, and some of our IT people that are 12-month employees. We have service workers who are our our warehouse workers, mm-hmm. our security guards, our library assistants. We have paraeducators, which Everybody knows what a paraeducator does, I guess. We help teachers and students be able to get the quality education that they need. And then we also have, let me see, mechanics, service workers, pro techs, paras, bus drivers. I'm forgetting one. Oh, nope, and maintenance. I think we got them all.
Wow. Okay. So without you all, pretty hard for the schools to function.
Yes, we basically are the first faces they see and the last faces and all the faces behind the scenes keeping everything running.
Yep. Okay. Well, many of your members, these workers that you're representing, have to work second jobs, some maybe even third jobs, I don't know, just to make ends meet, even if they're working full time. So talk a little bit about that and what that's like.
It's been really difficult. Evergreen, as well as many other districts across the state, are having a shortage of bus drivers and paraeducators. It's oftentimes a low paid position, not the bus drivers as much, but they get fewer hours in the day, obviously. And so the hourly wage being low is not attracting new employees into the district, and people are going to other districts that maybe are a little kinder and gentler to their employees. And so there's a huge shortage. We never have less than 60 open positions and as many as 175 just for paras alone.
Wow.
And so some of this is about trying to attract and retain quality employees, because when we don't have enough employees, the kids suffer minutes being met for sped kids. We have paras that are having to double and triple up for kids that are supposed to have one-on-ones. We're having difficulty getting paras at middle and high school, and even in the other grades for that matter, paid for all the work that they do. Our district, unfortunately, seems to think that working for free is okay. There's a culture here where it's just kind of an expectation, and people are afraid to stand up for themselves. And so the union is trying to take care of some of that for them. With bus drivers, you know, there's lots of other fields that they can go into, and they do. And when you have breaks in your day and things like that, it doesn't really make for a solvent job. And so we have people that are delivering pizza, making more money than they are working for the district as
Wow.
a second job.
Yeah, as a second job. And I also just imagine that that just takes a toll on somebody's quality of life if they're having to work second and third jobs.
Yes. I mean, there's no time for self-care or time spent with your own children. Family life suffers. There's just a lot of things. And so people piece it together as best they can. They go to food banks. We've had members donate blood and plasma. There's just a lot of things that go into it. And it's really heartbreaking to see. This county is very expensive to live in, and the wages don't keep track with that.
Yeah. Do you have any sense for how many of your members rely on government assistance?
No, we've never polled them. I mean, I think that that's a pretty private thing for a lot of people.
Sure, sure.
But I would say that there's probably a pretty good percentage out there.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, you have been bargaining with your district for a while now. Since March. Okay.
Yes.
And we're in September now. So we're talking, what is that? 7, 8 months?
Yes. Last
yeah.
negotiation cycle, they started in March, and we didn't get done until December. We
okay.
worked five months without a contract.
Okay. All right. So that's a lot of work on your bargaining team as well, right? That's a lot of hours spent.
It is. And those are all unpaid hours for the most part. Our district, you know, negotiators are obviously being paid, but the union's bargaining team does it for the membership.
Yep. Okay. Well, talk some about bargaining. What is it that you are demanding So far, I understand you have reached some agreements on some things, but where do you feel like the real sticking point is right now in the process?
Wages. Our district continuously calls itself broke, but it is broke only when it comes to paying their employees that are in the buildings, the student-facing employees. There's always plenty of money to pay our superintendent and our directors. We're
Of
very
course.
top-heavy in this district. And so it just gets to be a little disheartening when you have members that can't, feed themselves, but we also have people in our district that own million-dollar homes.
Where are you at right now in terms of what you're asking for? I imagine we're talking about a cost of living increase. Are you also looking at step increases or just cost of living? And give us some numbers.
Well, they gave us, they want to assure us cost of living. It's 2.5% in this year, 2.6 in year two at projected, and 2.9 in year three projected. And then they want to give us 2% in addition in the first year. We're still haggling over the second year, and they've insisted that they will give nothing in the third year but the IPD.
Okay, so what is it that you're asking for as far as COLA?
We were asking for 5% plus IPD across all 3 years
Gotcha, okay.
for paras. There were different percentages for the other classifications, but for para educators, which is the largest number of our members, it was 5% each year.
5%, okay. And is the thinking that after 3 years of that, that would that would help to make you a what's the word I'm looking for? But a more competitive district and able to hire and fill positions better.
Well, no, it would take much more than that to make us competitive because every year you
Okay, Mindy, looks like Mindy froze up for just a minute. Hopefully, we'll get her unfrozen and we can continue. There
so
you are.
it's not. It's a stopgap. It's never going, this district doesn't give big enough raises to ever make us competitive.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds to me like you're asking for some pretty reasonable increases there. So typically, classified workers are really reluctant to strike. And I'm not even sure when the last time that a classified union, at least in our part of the country, Oregon, Washington, it really is rare for that to happen, which is why I'm really excited to hear more about what's going on and following what's going on. So, what percent of your members voted for a strike?
92% I believe of the membership voted for strike, and say 92% of those that wasn't. There were 100 members that came and voted that day. And then to turn down the district's offer, it was 87.9%.
Okay.
But
Okay, you broke up a little bit, but I think what I heard was it was in the 90 percentile in terms of the strike vote, and then high 80, 87 that rejected the district's offer. Was that right?
that's correct.
Okay. So I'm curious, what do you think helped to embolden the workers in your local to vote in favor of a strike and also to reject the district's crappy offer?
I've heard from a lot of members that are just tired of the disrespect that we get in this district. They're tired of the top percentages making their wages that they do. Our CFO or COO received almost $8,000 in IPD at her 2.5%. If I took that same 2.5%, I would have gotten $700. So it's wage disparity, lack of respect. There's a lot of discipline, frivolous discipline that goes on in this district. And so I think people have just had enough. We've been a union for 57 years, and this is the first time we've ever taken a strike vote.
I just think that's awesome and inspiring to see workers, especially sort of more on the lower end, in at least in the field of education, right, in terms of pay, be willing to sort of just put your foot down and say enough is enough. That inspires me.
Especially with the hostility we've received from the district. They've threatened our pay. They've threatened to fire us. They've threatened to get an injunction. And the members are standing strong, and it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
They've threatened to fire people.
If the injunction were to be granted, yes. It's part of the part of what is in their injunction. They've also tried to file a ULP against us, stating that we planned to strike and didn't bargain in good faith. We didn't plan to prepare in case it became necessary because of the way that they treat our employees. Yes, but we didn't plan to strike. Nobody wants to go walk 70 to 90 miles, which is the average of what my people are walking since this strike began.
Yeah. So it sounds like your district is just, like you said, just being pretty disrespectful and trying to use threats and other fear tactics to get you all to back down and just get to work and back to business as normal.
Yes, and you know, they're telling everybody that we could work with last contract for up to a year and trying to shame us into the fact that we didn't choose to do that. But we did do that last negotiation cycle, and it did not serve our interests. They did not come up in their offer. It was the disrespect was even worse. And so we just made a decision as a group that would not be what we did this time. We would not go back to work without a contract.
Great. And how would you just, so you and your members have been on the picket line for 2 weeks now. You're going into your third week, right? How would you describe the morale?
It's pretty high. It's amazingly high considering what these people have been through. 90 degree days in the heat, walking, like I said, 70 to 90 miles so far. And they believe in what we're doing, and they're tired and want to be back in school with the kids, but they also know that they have to be able to feed their own families and be respected for the work that they do.
You may not be able to answer this or to sort of tip your hat in terms of some of your tactics that you're thinking about next, but if you can you share anything about, is there anything that you're planning to do differently next week to maybe ratchet up the pressure even a little bit more?
We will be at district office every day instead of being out at schools.
Okay. So the superintendent and everyone else who works there will see you.
So that they can see the members' solidarity. Yeah, we had hoped that the vote alone would make them understand that, you know, they need to meet us at the table and bargain in good faith. But unfortunately, that didn't seem to make a difference.
Okay. I'm curious about what sort of response you have gotten from your community, from other unions. Are you feeling solidarity?
We are. The Teamsters have been out. The Longshoremen have offered support. Our teachers union has been amazing. I can't say about EEA. They are out marching with this. They are they shared their strategies and things like that with us as far as this is what we did, and so that we kind of had an idea, because like I said, 57 years and we've never had a strike.
Yeah.
And so
That last sentence kind of cut off, Mindy. Do you mind repeating that?
No, I said that PSE will forever be grateful to EEA for all their support.
Gotcha. Thank you. How do you think, and I realize that you some of the impact won't be felt, or you won't know the full extent of the impact for, you know, maybe years, but how do you think that this strike has impacted you personally and also your union, your members?
I think this strike has been a huge motivator for my members. It's brought a lot of solidarity. We've signed up over 70 new members in the last 2 weeks.
Mm.
People are, union really wants to empower them and is there for them. And so I have been so personally touched by the outpouring of love and support from my members and the community. And when we went into bargain this morning, there were members outside on a Saturday after they'd been walking all week to cheer us on, and it brought me to tears. It is a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. So what can you tell us about what's happening next? And also, you did mention, you know, I know you already mentioned you'll be at the district office each day, but anything else you want to tell us about what's happening next and how listeners can support you all during this historic strike?
Well, we're always willing to have people join us on the lines. We love to meet new people. We've had WEA leadership out on the picket lines. We've had teachers from Camas and surrounding districts that have been able to come. The community has been making food and water donations at the sites. People have been giving to the students. There's just been a lot. People are writing letters to the school board and to the superintendent, and the parents have been writing affidavits because one of the things the district accused us of was causing irreparable harm to our students. And so parents are standing up and pledging support, and we appreciate all of it so very much.
Do you have a strike fund that people can donate to?
We do. It's on Venmo, and it's Evergreen PSE 507.
Evergreen PSE 507. All right. Well, I did have an opportunity.
With the little at sign at the beginning.
Yep. I was just going to mention in closing, I did have an opportunity to join y'all on the picket line. It was the Friday of your first week. And yeah, the members were very friendly, very willing to. I spoke with several of them. They were, the morale seemed high to me then, but it's nice to know that it's been kept up. But yeah, people were super friendly and willing to talk about what the issues were with me. And yeah, I hope to be able to go out again, but working as a teacher during those hours, it's a little tricky to get out there. But if you do another something on a Saturday, if we're still going into next weekend, I'll be sure to be there.
Well, we'd love to have you. Evergreen Teacher Strike Band came yesterday and played for an hour, and they're absolutely amazing, really lifted spirits. We've got bus drivers out wearing bus costume. And I hear Spirit Day is coming next week. It'll be Crazy Hair Day one day. I mean, they're trying to make the best of it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, Mindy, for joining us on KBOO. Thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. This is Steven Siegel. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 o'clock to catch another Labor Radio show.
Listeners, sponsored stations count on you, not Arbitron. So when you push their buttons, you get radio that turns you on.
Hi there, this is Ann Feeney, and you are listening to listener-supported community radio, KBOO FM in Portland.
Sound was used for centuries as a method of torture. Place someone's head inside of a bell and ring it.
Tune in to KBOO every other Tuesday at 3 a.m. for the Vinyl Pajama Party with your erstwhile host, Brian.
And eventually,
you never know what you will find on your radio / interwebs during the show, but it will be something.
And eventually,
that's the Vinyl Pajama Party, alternating Tuesdays at 3 a.m., only on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
All right. Good evening. You're listening.